say,
Blog Talk Radio.
Restoration, completion, perfection, establishment.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, I wake up in the morning, and all I can tell the Lord is I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be a child of the Most High God. Again, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of God. I thank God this morning for you joining me as we move forward through His Word. Not my word, but God's word. And as we all know, God's word is always true. Always true. True yesterday, true today, and true forevermore. So all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. For God gave us a new morning. Morning, my morning, new mercies we see. All we can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord. Be grateful that you woke up this morning. Be grateful that God gave you breath in your body because somebody didn't wake up today. Somebody didn't get this new day that you got. So thank God every day. Even when you're going through, thank God. Hallelujah. And know that you are blessed. Because you are a child of God. Know that you are blessed because he gave you a new day, a better day. Hallelujah. Today, I'm claiming it. My day is going to be a good day. Yesterday, I couldn't hardly breathe, couldn't hardly speak, coughed all day. But God, by his stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. I'm claiming my healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the word that God gave me this morning, by faith, he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And I'm not talking, you know, that prosperity ministry stuff of, you know, you got faith, you're going to have $1 million. Well, if that's God's will, then yes, I'll have $1 million. But that's not what I'm talking about. The faith I'm talking about is that mustard seed faith that gets you through the day, that mustard seed faith that says, I can, I will. And as Pastor Fred said this morning on Morning Glory, I win. Hallelujah. We are going to win today. Because when God is in it, there's no limit to what you can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, grateful, thankful, and blessed to be your daughters, to be your sons, to be your children, knowing that you, Father God, are in charge of everything. And everything that we are and will be is because of you, oh God. Father God, I lift up this mighty word this morning, Lord God. May it add a blessing to the hearers and the reader of this word, oh God. Let those that hear it, let it sink into their spirit that they have it in their weapon and their arsenal to fight against the wiles of the sneaky snake that we call the devil. And we got to learn how to say, not today. Not today will I allow you to make me sick. Not today will I allow you to make me not trust in the Lord that I am well, that I am whole, that I am healed. Ah, hallelujah. Lord God, we got to learn how to speak the word. By his stripes, I am healed today. And Lord, I will go forth in your word, knowing that you are with me, that you have already placed the angels around me to protect me from the wiles of the devil and the evil one. Father God, we ask you to put hedges of protection around all your children today, as those that travel the highways and the byways, that they get to their destinations to and from safely, Lord God. Father God, I ask you to bless the caregivers out there, Lord God, who are taking care of the sick and the needy. Bless the doctors and the nurses and the CNAs and the all those that are working in hospitals, in nursing homes, in private homes. Lord God, I ask a hedge of protection around them today. Father God, I ask you to watch over pastors and teachers and preachers as they bring the word this today and this evening in their churches, oh God. Give them strength. Give them fortitude. Give them your word. And Father, above all things, we ask that you increase as we decrease. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart will be acceptable in your holy sight. For Lord God, you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And we pray this morning, believing and trusting in your word, that all things work for our good because we believe and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God. Hallelujah. We going to trust God. Hallelujah. Today and always, it comes down to faith. Do you believe? Do you believe that the Lord can do what he says he will do? Do you believe that his word is true? Do you believe? The word today God gave me is by faith. He who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. And that's prospered in health. Prospered in whatever endeavor you have to do. Prospered in your finances. Prospered in your churches. Prospered in your homes. Prospered in your families. Prospered wherever you go. The Lord God said, by faith, it can happen. We got to have mustard seed faith today. And I want to say it again because we want to win. Hallelujah. We want to win this fight against the enemy, this fight against the sneaky, low-down, dirty snake that we have to go up against every day. And understand, we have read in our word, we know that the devil can only be in one place at one time. And I understand he is not after my little self because I'm not that big and important. He's after the bigger folks than me. But I know that his demonic spirits are all around trying to attack. That's why we got to ask God to give us angels. Just like those spirits are fallen angels, those demonic spirits, we got to ask for those spirits, those heavenly spirits, those angelic spirits to wrap themselves around us, to put hedges of protection around us and our children and our families, our churches, our pastors. Ask God to put hedges of protection around those that you love. All of you, I ask God to put a hedge of protection around you, that you will be set free, saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will know that you win this battle because the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. We stand on the word of God today. And let's get into the word of God today. We are still in Ezekiel chapter 25 and 26. We are still in Hebrews as well. We'll be in Hebrews 11, 13 through 40 to finish off this Hebrew 11 word for the day. We will be in Psalms 128, verses 1 through 6. And our title today is coming out of Proverbs 28, 25 and out of Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 17, by faith. So let's get into it. Get your Bible, get your Bible, because that's what we do. We stand on the word of God. And I ask you to keep me in your prayers that that spirit of coughing will not attack this morning like it did on yesterday. And that this, I'm not going to claim it. I'm claiming it right now. By his stripes, I am healed. Amen. So let's get into it. And I'm always looking for someone who would like to read the word in the morning, especially on days when I'm not my best and I'm hoarse or anything. You know, all you have to do is just call 213-943-3597, push the number 1, and if it's God's will, don't call saying you want to read if you don't have the word of God in your heart, because it will show. We want the word of God in your heart. But I'm always looking for readers. So I haven't done it yet, but God has put it on my heart that I need to open it up for those that love to read the word of God and would like to read the word of God on the air. and that would be great. So please, 213-943-3597. Call, push the bus, number one. Your line will be open, and just say, Pastor Bridget, I want to read today, if you don't mind. And I'll give you the scriptures, and we'll go for it. Hallelujah. Let God be God, and let us move forward in his word today. And the word of the Lord says this. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, and we know this is Ezekiel speaking, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because you said, against my sanctuary when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into captivity. Indeed, therefore, I will deliver you as a possession to the men of the east, and they shall set their encampment among you and make their dwellings among you. They shall eat your fruit, and they shall drink your milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and Ammon a resting place for the flocks. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, because you clapped your hands, stomped your feet, and rejoiced in heart with all your disdain for the land of Israel. Indeed, therefore, I will stretch out my hand against you and give you a plunderer to the nations. I will cut you off from the peoples, and I will cause you to perish from the countries. I will destroy you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir say, look, the house of Judah is like all the nations. Therefore, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab of cities, of the cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshurun, Baal Meon, and Kirjathaim, to the men of the east. I will give it as possession together with the Ammonites, and the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgment upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and has greatly offended by avenging itself on them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Teman. Dedan shall fall by the sword. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury. They shall know my vengeance, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Gerizimites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because terror has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken. Who was the, well, now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, says the Lord God, it shall become plunder for the nations. Also our daughter villages, which are in the fields, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots, and with horsemen, and an army with many people. He will slay with the sword your daughter villages in the fields. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, and raise a defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers because of the abundance of his horses. Their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, the wagons, and the chariots. When he enters your gates, as men enter a city that has been breached with the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. And they will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. I will put an end to the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps shall be heard no more. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to Tyre. Will the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when slaughter is made in the midst of you? Then all the princes of the sea will come down from their thrones, lay aside their robes, and take off their embroidered garments, clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be astonished at you. And they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city, who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands by the sea are troubled at your departure. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waves cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit. To the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from antiquity, from those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited. And I will establish glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought, for you will never be found again, says the Lord God. And a life lesson for chapter 6, 26 and 5 of Ezekiel. It shall be a place for spreading nets. Ezekiel prophecy about the fate of Tyre is a remarkable example of fulfilled prophecy. While at the height of her power, Ezekiel predicted she would become a place to dry nets, exactly what it is today. Don't mess with God. And I'll say this again. What God says he will do, he will do. He will do it. What God says he will do, he will do. Believe it. Trust it. And know it. And that's why we stand on the word of God. When you stand on the word, you don't have to worry about the other stuff. Because what God says he will do, he will do. Says, I will be with you wherever you go. You can know that the Lord God is with us wherever we go. when he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, you know that he will never leave us or forsake us. Because we what? Stand on his word. I thank God this morning for this mighty word. And I have a life principle from Dr. Stanley for us today. And it's from this word from chapter 25, verses 67 of Ezekiel. And it says, some people think that God's refusal to give them some cherished need would be the worst thing that could ever happen to them. They think life would truly disappoint them if some urgent desire of theirs should go unmet. So they pursue their desire either in opposition to God's will or in disregard of it, and end up truly disappointed, even if they get what they think they wanted. They remind me of the Israelites in Moses' day who insisted on meat, and God, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You know, we whine and complain so much to God. Well, Lord, if I had this, it would be all right. And Lord, if I had that, it would be all right. And Lord, if, and Lord, if, and Lord, if. God is not. We got to just say, Lord, your will. Lord, your will. And when it's God's will, whatever God has for you is for you. Can't nobody take it. Can't nobody diminish it. It's irrevocable. And we got to stand on God's word, not on what man said. You know, men are fallible, but God is not. You know, we got to get out of the politics of life. You know, folks get so caught up in rhetoric of politics and rhetoric of this person and that person and this vaccinated versus unvaccinated, Republican versus Democrat, this versus that. That's not God. Get out of that stuff, and it don't need to be in the pulpit. We got to teach God's word. What men are going to do, men are going to do. But when you trust and stand on the word of God, you don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You do what you're supposed to do. Because the bottom line is, I can't go to heaven or hell for you, and you can't go to heaven or hell for me. We each got to be responsible for what we do and how we act and how we deport ourselves. Do we do it in love of God? Do people see us and see God in us? Or do they see us and see the devil? Here comes the devil walking. Or here comes that nice, that angel. She's got an angel on her. Or he's got an angel in him. He's a nice man. Or she's a wonderful woman of God. He's an awesome man of God. We got to start speaking life also over our children. I speak life over my sons and my daughters. I speak life over my grandchildren. I speak life over my church and over my pastor, over all of you. I speak life today. We are not going to let what's going on in the world get us down, because God is in charge. And remember, whatever happens, happens for a reason and a purpose. And this is what it goes on to say, because I'm going back to that Psalms word. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Because what happened? They whined and complained. They was getting manna from heaven. And they whined and complained about it, whether or not they wanted meat, because in Egypt, we had these, and then we knew it. And so what he did, he sent all the birds, sent them fowl, sent them quail. They had so much, they got sick. He dumped them birds on them like it wasn't nobody's business. And what happened? Ate so much, got sick, threw up everything. But also what happened, they wind up in that doggone desert, wandering, 11-day journey, 11 days that turned into 40 years because of disobedience. And this is what it says here. This is what Dr. Stanley says. And I'm, you know, going down to some place to get to the word. It says, you may not understand. It says, by going back to the one desire present in every human heart, to know God. You may not understand this longing as a desire for God. You may simply feel dissatisfaction with your life. Maybe the relationship you wanted and attained isn't everything you thought it would be. Perhaps you have everything you ever wanted, yet still go through periods of longing, sadness, and loneliness. The origin of dissatisfaction, unfulfilled expectations, and feelings of sadness or loneliness is the same, a raging hunger for what you cannot see and do not fully know, God. And that is so true. That is so true. It is the truth. And I'm speaking this because I've been there. I can only talk about myself. I can't talk about anybody else. I was in that place where I had tuned out. I still love God. I still believed in Jesus Christ. But I had tuned out with the communion of saints. I didn't want to be bothered with anybody in anybody's church. Just didn't feel like being bothered with those folks. Not understanding I was missing a little part of God because I needed that communion with saints because God said, I got work for you to do, and you sitting on your talents. You're sitting on what I gave you for to do what I called you to do, sitting on your talents, sitting on your gifts. And I didn't know it. I was tuned up. I was like, I can watch TV and get just as much word as I could in a church house. So I watch my T.D. Jakes. I watch my Joel Osteen. And back in the day, yes, I would watch Oral Roberts and Pat, what is it, Robinson. I watched him too. I watched the 700 Club. My kids watched the 700 Club because I was watching the 700 Club. Yeah, I even watched PTL. Yeah, I was up there. I was watching everything. And then, of course, you know, you can't go without the Gaithers. You know, it was just everything. When I had this longing to be in the house of God, to be working for God, to be doing what I was called to do. But I was sitting on it. And I was still empty and didn't know why. And it goes on to say, since you took Augustine, said to God, you made us for yourself, and our heart is resting until it rests in you. There is always more to be uncovered about God. We will never get to the bottom of him while we live on earth. But once we enter into a relationship with the Lord, he promises to reveal more of himself to us as we fellowship with him. Hosea 2:19-20 says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. In other words, I will engage you to me. To fellowship with God, to talk with him, to listen to him, as you study the Bible, as to get to know him better. He has betrothed you, are engaged, his people to himself for one reason, to let him be known. When you discover something about God that you have never recognized, the proverbial light bulb illuminates your heart and mind, giving you a greater desire to know more and to leave your fleshly desires behind. As we test the waters of worldly desire, only to find ourselves drowning in them, God's loyalty to us shines as we find the things we acquire outside of his will turning to ashes. He rescues us and restores our desire for him alone. Thank you, God. Glimpsing one of God's characteristics in his word and the same to life through our experience deepens. In the first one, I got about five things to say. One, our humility. And it says, as we see God's sovereignty unveiled, we more deeply understand our need for him. Number two, our gratitude. Every day, thankful, grateful, blessed. Knowing that God's loving kindness motivates his forgiveness, deliverance, and guidance, gives us a thankful heart instead of coming to God with complaints about our unfulfilled selfish desires. We come to him with adoration and praise. Thank you, God. A hunger. When the Holy Spirit sheds new light on an old verse, one we've read many times, our quest for more gets stronger. Our appreciation of God's word gives us a more profound delight in studying and applying its truth. Thank you, God, for this day that you have made. Our reverence, learning something new about our Creator, reminds us that we don't know everything about him. As we come in terms with the depth of the height of God, our awe of him grows. Our desire to please God. When we have a right, holy, respectful fear of the Lord, our wants change from satisfying ourselves to satisfying our God. Pleasing him is not a chore. Rather, it becomes a joy done out of humility and thankfulness. Amazingly, as we pursue our desire for God, he fulfills the other desires he has given us. And we learn afresh that while acquiring anything outside of his will leaves dust in our mouth, he desires to fulfill us with pleasure forevermore, Psalm 16:11. And so again, to go into that deeper experience, we need to have our humility. God needs our humility, our gratitude, our hunger, our reverence, our desire to please God. Psalms 128:1-6 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, hallelujah, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And the title for our lesson comes out of this proverb, Proverbs 28:25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts and the Lord will be prospered. Hallelujah. And the rest of our word title comes from Hebrews 11:11-40. And we're just talking by faith. And what God gave me was to put, by faith, he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, that we just saw yesterday in Hebrews 11:1. We got to have that kind of faith. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know, we can say, I am confident that absent from this earthly body is in the presence of the Lord. And we have to have that in our spirit, that we are confident. We are confident that when we leave this earthly body, we will be in the presence of God, that there is a building not made by hands, that we will be able to dwell in with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And it says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him. in a figurative sense. Excuse me, y'all. In a figurative sense. Because Abraham waited 100 years to have this child of promise. And then for God to say, look, I think I want him back. No, I don't think I do. I want him back. And that you have to go and sacrifice your child. He had the knives out. He was ready to kill his son for God. And then what did God give him? A ram in the bush. And I can tell you this, don't ever think you got to sacrifice your child to God, because he will always give you a ram in the bush when you have faith that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. When you have faith that by his stripes you are healed. When you have faith that all things work together for the good of those who trust and believe in the Lord God. We got to have that kind of faith. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. And what did he have to do? They took his bones. When they left Egypt, he left Egypt too. They took his bones with them to bury him in the promised land. By faith, he knew that his sons and his grandsons or whomever would do what he asked to be done, and they did it. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he looked to the reward. And again, just like Enoch didn't die, Moses did, but they have never to this day. And believe me, all these thousands of years, archaeologists have been looking, but they have not found, and they never will find, the bones of Moses. They will never find it because God hid it for a purpose, and he hid it from the devil. Hallelujah. And God is not going to let the devil or his minions, or the devils in hell, the devils on earth, he is not going to let them find the bones or the body of Moses. Again, hasn't been found, it won't. And it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong because valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Whatever you need, God will provide, and it may not be when you want it, and it may not be in your time. It may be a need for the future for your children. It may be a need for the next and third and fourth generations. Whatever it is that God promised, he will provide it. We can take it to the bank that what God says he will do, he will do. Doesn't ask much of us just to have faith, to believe that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. We got to give it to the source material, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He was with us yesterday. He is with us today. And he will be with us tomorrow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your mighty word this morning. And just a couple of life lessons before we wrap it up today. And we're going to come out of Hebrews chapter 11, life lesson for chapter 11, 13. And the verse says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Abraham died having seen some, but not all, of God's promises fulfilled. We stand in precisely the same situation. God will certainly fulfill all his promises, but the greatest of them await the next life. Do we believe? Yes, I do believe that my next life will be better than this life. And I can say this life has been good. Yes, I've had ups. Yes, I've had downs. Yes, I've had good, bad, and I've had some downright ugly. But I can never complain that God has not always been with me through the good, through the bad, through the ugly. He's been with me. When I want to fall down, he's been there to hold me up. When I thought I would fail, he's been there to dust me off and pass me along. When I cried in the middle of the night, when nobody else was around to hear, he was there to dry my tears. He's been with me all my life. He's patted my hand and said it'll be all right. And it was. He has given me a desire for more of him. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, a hope and a future, and joy in my heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11, 25 through 20 and 26, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. We're going to actually go and read that in whole. Dr. Stanley put it in part, but we're going to read it in whole. And it says this, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. This is the Bible acknowledges that there is some pleasure in sin, even though it quickly passes and leaves the sinner feeling more empty and unsatisfied than before. The Bible also acknowledges that there is some affliction in godliness, even though they quickly passes too. Yet the reward for godliness far outstrips any pleasure in sin. And, you know, I can tell you this, shopping therapy is awesome. But again, it's a sin when you overindulge. And then you have overflow and you don't give anything away. You got to give stuff up. It's time to let go and let God. You know, if you cannot walk in a room because it's got too much stuff in it, it's time to give some stuff away. And I'm not preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to me. You know, God said, it's time to give some stuff away, daughter. It's time to clean up some stuff and downsize some things. You know, we got to learn how to downsize our closets, downsize our garages, downsize our homes. Sometimes we can be so cluttered out that we don't even realize we're in clutter until we go into an uncluttered home and say, oh, wow, house could be like this if I just gave away this, that, and the other. And I didn't say sell. I said give away. Some things you sell, some things you give away. But God is wanting to be the center of everything in your life. By faith, he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Don't be afraid to give up some stuff because you just never know what God has in mind for you. Whew, hallelujah. Hands open to give are also hands open to receive the blessings of the Lord. So I thank you all this morning. That's all I have. I thank God for no coughing. I thank God for giving me a voice to speak. I just thank God for all of you. And keep God first in all that you do because he loves us and he loves us so much. So again, tell a friend, if you know somebody who's shut in or somebody just needs a word every day from the Lord, tell them about moving forward so they can call in and listen in and get a word. You know, 7 o'clock a.m. to 8 o'clock a.m. is our time with God. You know, and when you give God your time, believe me, God gives you. Yeah, there is always a word. Today is this. When God decides to bless you, you know, we're all up in the message, ain't you? And, of course, she didn't know again what I was talking about or what I was writing. What God was giving me, but here we go. This girl don't even know she's about to make me shout. When God decides to bless you, when it says by faith, he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He will cause situations to come together in your favor. No matter what others try to do, have a wonderful Wednesday. And I say to y'all, keep God first. Don't worry. Just pray. And know that God's got you covered. Because, again, God doesn't need you worrying. That's pride. Worrying is saying that I don't think my God can do, can supply all my needs. But we, the word of God, when we stand on it, says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And God's riches outshine any riches of any millionaire, trillionaire, or whatever here they are. We are blessed beyond measure. So don't give up on God because God is definitely never going to give up on you. Keep trusting him. Keep believing in him. And know that he is and always will be the Most High God, who is our Father in heaven, who created us from the mother's womb. He created us. He knitted us. Isn't that what the word says? He knitted us in our mother's womb. And he's the one that breathes the breath of life in us. When a baby is born and they do that little slap on the rear to get anything out, and you hear just the breath of God going into your child, and then you hear, as they cry, because they've been given the breath of life. And we cry because we know that life is not going to be easy, because life is life. You go through good, you go through bad, you go through ugly. But we are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. And as Fred said this morning on Morning Glory, I say to you all, you win. Have a blessed day. Thank you again for listening in this morning. Please join me again tomorrow morning, God willing, 7 a.m. with the Word of God. Thank you so much. God bless you. God keep you. God lift his face to shine upon you and give you rest, give you peace, give you joy, give you hope, give you all that you need, even before you know you're going to need it. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed and know that by faith, when we trust in God, we will be prospered. And that is not, I'm not talking net wealth. I'm talking everything that you need, God will provide. Take care, family. Be blessed. And as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. Love you all, and take care. And please join me, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God. And again, one more time, put in your spirit, by faith, say, by my faith, I trust in the Lord, and I know he will prosper me. So by faith, he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. You will be prospered because you have faith and you trust in God. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. And this time, my second or third closing, I'm not sure which one it is, but this time it truly is a wrap. Be blessed.